This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Now, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15, and as you just heard, so is Inslee still going, Nicole, with the State of the State address?
You know what? I got out of it, so I haven't checked in.
Dory, looks like it just ended a little bit ago, actually.
Okay. All right. So the things that he was talking about, he said that we got to spend money on homelessness. Is that what you said, Aaron?
Yeah, that was one of the comments he made. Yep.
He didn't mention, I assume. He didn't mention the fact that in Seattle and King County, we've spent more than $15 billion in the last 15 years on homelessness.
I didn't listen closely enough. I doubt that came up, though.
I'm just wondering why the money that we spend now is going to make such a bigger difference when we all know that the problem is legalized drugs. And he didn't speak about making drugs illegal in our state by any chance, did he? And the part you heard, Aaron?
Didn't catch that one either, Dory. No.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, I'll go through it after I'm off the air.
Okay.
I'll listen to the whole thing. Nicole, will you check and see if Jay Inslee suggested we should make drugs illegal in Washington?
Honest.
See if you... Every time you say audit, I know you're not on it.
Hey. All that matters is that I said on it.
I can read you being disingenuous for crying out loud. No, seriously, though, we've spent $15 billion back in about 2005. It's been a little over 15 years now. Back in 2005, 2006, a lot of well-intentioned business people, they started the King County 10-year plan to end homelessness. And we spent billions and billions and billions of dollars. And what happened? Well, homelessness got dramatically worse. So now Jay Inslee says, but if we just spend some money on it, it'll magically get better. And this is what happens when you put people who aren't real deep thinkers in charge of things. If you want to do something about the homelessness crisis, make drugs illegal again. Somebody, I don't remember if it was a text or an email, but I heard from a listener last night who said, Dory, you always say this is the easiest place in the country to be a heroin addict. What proof do you have of that? Well, the fact that we have more heroin addicts than pretty much any place in the country, the fact that heroin and meth are legal in our state now, thank you, Supreme Court, and the fact that we don't prosecute drug addicts when they break into houses, break into cars, or rob people on the street. If there is an easier place, please tell me where it is and what they have done to make things even easier. But until you can prove to me that there's a place as insane or insaner, I'm going to see if I can get that to be the word of 2022. I want people to all start using the word insaner to describe our politics around here. If somebody can prove to me that there is a place in the United States insaner than our region when it comes to how easy we make it to be a drug addict, please provide to me your evidence. I will love to see it. Until you do, I will continue with my undoubtedly accurate statement that this is the easiest place in the country to be a heroin addict. And let me give you some proof. So in King County, did you bump up any cuts from this homelessness guy, Nicole?
Mark Jones? Yes, I did. They're up there.
Okay, all right. So we have a new way to count homeless in King County. And they say the way that they're doing it now is they used to do like a one-night homelessness count where volunteers would go all over and just count the actual number of homeless people. But now in King County, they said, no. That always said there were about 11,000 homeless people in our county. The number is actually more than 40,000 homeless people. And they say the new count method is how many people have accessed services. Well, this is what you get when you put a radical communist cop hater in charge of homelessness in our region. And that's not me just, you know, throwing out fire at this guy. His name is Mark Dones. He's in his early 30s. And Mark Dones is an admitted communist. And he got this job. He's making over $150,000 a year to be the regional homeless authority director for Seattle and King County. He is a bigot. This guy hates white people. He hates Republicans. He thinks that almost everybody is a white supremacist. He loves communism and socialism. And he said that on his own Twitter. He said, it's always people who benefit from socialist policies and don't even know it who are in my mentions telling me that there's no evidence that socialism works. Like, okay, bruh. Anybody who tweets, okay, bruh, B-R-U-H, probably isn't somebody we want heading up all the regional homelessness, you know, the multi-billion dollar budget. But okay, bruh, we'll hand that to you. He says, enjoy that tax subsidy on your government-backed mortgage. So he thinks that socialism, and then he's also said that communism, that these are superior economic systems because under socialism and communism, everyone has access to nice things. So even if you're a drug addict, you should get the exact same things in life as somebody who grows up in poverty, works their way through college, doesn't use drugs, and goes on to become the most successful talk show host in the country. No, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about somebody in some fictional city elsewhere who's worked really hard. But according to the director of King County and Seattle Regional Homeless, no matter how you live your life, you should have the same outcome because that's what socialism and communism provides in this wondrous world. So, again, this guy's name is Mark Dones. When he first got the job, you know, I went back through some press conferences with him. I tried to figure out what he was all about. And why don't I see this, Nicole? Why don't I see Mark Dones in here? Oh, here he is. Here's what we found out. He does like the word like an awful lot.
I think that this conversation has become so polarizing and so toxic because we simply refuse to let it be actually complicated. We keep searching for like, oh, that like someone has to be wrong here, right? And in reality, like we're all holding pieces of right and pieces of wrong because we're human and we're fallible. And that's just kind of what we're going to do until we're not here anymore, right? And so I want to acknowledge that, like, the fears that folks have had about, well, everything is going to become downtown Seattle, right? Like, is there in some ways a reasonable fear in that for many people who, you know, are navigating, you know, this space or other space.
Have you heard enough? He, like, likes the word like a lot, like, you know, right? He, like, is in charge of, like, billions of dollars a year. Like, that's a lot of money, you know, right? So that's why our problem's not going to get any better when we put a communist, white-hating, cop-hating person in charge who isn't, isn't the most articulate person, judging from that soundbite. But that's who we have in charge now. He wasn't their first choice. They offered the job to somebody else. That person turned it down. So then they went to this guy, Mark Dones. And so when Jay Inslee stands up at his State of the State speech today and says we need to spend more money. I guess I'm not very articulate either. But we need to spend more money on homelessness. It just doesn't ring very true. This guy, Mark Dones, he also tweeted, I want to be clear that we're calling for defunding the police and not reforming because there's no evidence those reforms will end the threat to black lives. We must defund the police. He talked about this is exhausting. This isn't about officers that do or don't do a job. This is about the nature and function of a white supremacist and oppressive system. There is no right job to do when it comes to police officers. So he hates cops, he hates white people, he's a communist, and he's going to fix the homelessness problem. And Jay Inslee says we should give guys like that billions of dollars more of our hard-earned, like, money, right? So that he can fix the problem. I don't know. I'm not buying it. Up next in the Fastest 15. So, Nicole, we talked a lot. You were a big fan of Full House as a young girl. And that, you're probably older than a young girl, weren't you? When Full House was on?
No. It was in the 80s, so I mean I was probably 10 maybe.
Oh, I guess my daughter watched the reruns. It was like me watching Gilligan's Island. I didn't watch the first run. I watched the reruns.
Well, and it was on for 10 years, so I mean I was really? Probably I don't know, 6 to or maybe 9 years. Maybe it was 9 years. But yeah, okay. Somewhere in that range.
And I know that you were, as were so many people in the country, deeply saddened with the Bob Saget news. He seemed to be very fit and healthy. He had done a 2-hour comedy show the night before. Speculation now is growing that he just suffered a heart attack or a stroke. He was in bed in the hotel room, and apparently he was supposed to fly home a couple of days ago on Sunday from Florida back to California, and his wife couldn't get hold of him. So she finally called the Ritz-Carlton where he was staying and said, I can't get hold of my husband. Will you check his room? And that's when a hotel employee went up to his room, found that he was dead. And he apparently was in his bed and presumably had a heart attack or a stroke. Last night on Jimmy Kimmel, I don't like Jimmy Kimmel's politics. I used to like his show. I don't anymore. But it was very sweet because he was good friends with Bob Saget. And before the show where they had the studio audience came in, he recorded an opening segment with no audience because he knew. He says that this was his 14th take of trying to get through it without sobbing. And he was sobbing. But I found this to be very sweet as he was talking about his friend, Bob Saget.
A word that came up a lot was the sweetest. And Bob was the sweetest. He was the sweetest man. And the reason people wrote that is because it's true. It's the best word. If you had to pick one word to describe him, that was it, sweetest. I have so many wonderfully kind and supportive texts and emails, calls from Bob. He always had a compliment. He would write sometimes just to tell me he loved me, and I know he did that for many people. He was so funny, and I'm not talking about Full House or America's Funniest Home Videos or stand-up comedy or movies. I mean funny for real. Like when you walked into a party, you saw Bob and his wife, Kelly in the corner, you go straight to them and stay for as long as you could because he had something funny to say about everything and nothing bad to say about anyone. Never. If there were people he didn't like, he kept it to himself. He was, unlike me, he was a good person. Bob lost his sister.
I do find it interesting that Jimmy Kimmel found that to be so admirable. He had nothing bad to say about anyone and then says, unlike me, he was a good person. Because what made Kimmel's show so unwatchable was just his raw hatred for people who didn't think like him politically. So it's interesting that he said
Andrea
that.
To a brain aneurysm and his sister Gay to a disease called scleroderma. It just so happened that Bob had been doing fundraisers to fight scleroderma 3 years before his sister got it.
And he told other anecdotes like that.
I was going through emails with Bob, and some of them were just funny, but some were very serious emails about life and the well-being of our children and how hard it is to appreciate one of those without the other being just right. In one email, we're talking about our kids, and I have it here. He wrote, one night soon, let's go out and have some meat and some good damn drinks and talk about how lucky we are that we have them. And we did do that many times. When my son was in the hospital, Bob checked in a lot. So I want to send love to his daughters, to his wife, Kelly, and to his friends who loved him so much. He was very kind to everyone, and he had no problem telling you that he loved you and what you meant to him. In 2017, after our mutual...
It's very sweet. And then he went on to show a clip from 2017 of Bob Saget and John Stamos
on his show. Outstanding to see some of these people that he reached out to regularly. Pete Davidson posted a thing about how he would call him and his mom and make sure they were doing well mentally after everything happened with 9/11 and things like that. And I mean, that's the way to go, man. If you are remembered for how many people you reached out to and made sure that they knew that you loved and care about them, that's the way to go, man.
Absolutely. My agent, Paul, who we had on the show yesterday, who was very close with Bob Saget, he said the same thing, that he had a catalog of text messages they had exchanged that were funny and sweet and just loving, and it was... That was the way he was. So you know the rumors that are flying around now, Nicole, because he was healthy. He didn't seem to have, that we know of, any comorbidities. But he apparently was even joking on his podcast, which my agent produced. He was joking about having had COVID, which knocked him out a couple of months ago, and he got the booster about 1 month ago, and Bob Saget even joked about that on his podcast.
Always a dream walk, you know? I went to the pharmacy the other day. I got a booster shot, and I should have gotten it in my arm, but I got it in my butt, so I'm a little in pain. But
okay, so that was just his one line about the booster. But now people are saying, so wait a second, a guy who seemed to be perfectly healthy, and a month after he got the booster, he dies of a heart attack or a stroke in his sleep in his hotel room. And so it just feeds into it. I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory. I don't know if it's legit. I mean, Nicole, you and I have, and we don't.
That's actually the first thing I texted you. I hope you didn't just get the booster.
I know.
Want that to be the problem. I don't want that to be, but I want it to be looked at. I don't know how they can tell that that was a cause if that's a case, but these soccer players, these tennis players, just lots of people. And it's just worth looking into, I think. And that's why I think there's so much distrust in the CDC and, government, because we aren't seeing anybody look into this. We're just being told, don't be ridiculous.
Well, and every day we have stories, and we usually don't run with them because I don't want to feed the hysteria because it's not proven. Exactly. But every day we have stories about soccer players around the world who have heart attacks or collapse because of a cardiac event. And
Brazilian and other guy last week.
All around the world. Yes. And like I said, I don't want to feed unfounded hysteria, but if people see all of these stories and all of this news and they hear about Bob Saget just got the booster and they don't want to get the booster, I still got the booster over my Christmas break. I've made decisions about my own health. But if there's somebody who doesn't want government to tell them they must because they are given pause by all of these stories in the news, That's my whole point. I don't think it should be mandated. I think you should be free to make decisions that are best for you and
like
conclusions
at the beginning
that you have reached.
And at the beginning of the segment when you said, ask me to look into something, and I said I would look into it, that's all we want to hear from them.
Yeah.
I said, I'm on it. I just want to hear they're on it and
they're
stop telling
it.
Us that we're all looking, or telling lies and creating fear and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. And
just tell
believe
me, they're on
if,
it.
If we wanted to create fear, we have stories every single day that we usually don't talk about on the show that we could have talked about, because I don't want to feed unfounded hysteria, but I do want people to at least be aware of it. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Nicole, did we hear back from our buddy?
Yes, we did.
Go?
Dave
Wyman's going to join us live. I'm excited. I forgot to text him. Nicole just got word back from him. That's next here on the Dory Monson Show. Eric Clapton.
I believe so, but there's a different band name this is known by.
Band name?
Derek and the what?
Oh, the the Domino.
Kraken.
That's it. Derek and the Dominoes.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, Dory. How you doing?
Good. Dave Wyman joins us every Tuesday at this time and got a lot to talk about. First of all, just the story that was in the news, Dave, about Geno Smith. How do these guys, with as much money as they make, how do they not know how much they're risking when they get behind the wheel like that? It's very disappointing.
Well, alcohol, I mean, it absolutely changes your way of thinking.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and the other thing, I mean, this horrible story out of Las Vegas where this Henry Ruggs kid, I think he was a first-round draft choice, maybe a second-rounder, and he killed a woman and her dog at a stoplight. But he was going like 90 miles an hour through streets in Vegas. You'd think that would be just scare the heck out of everybody.
Yeah, I know it.
So, yeah, it's mystifying. But from what I understand, also, the NFL, Jake Heaps said this. I'm not sure exactly the details, but there's something about how there's a number. If you're an NFL player, I don't know if it's the Players Association or whatever, but you can call an Uber and they'll pay for it. And
yeah.
So, yeah, it's, the hassle of going back and getting your car the next day just pales in comparison to the consequences.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, I thought about you on Sunday during the Seahawks games. They finished with a win, but there was that what looked like a brutal injury. The network didn't show it. Did you see what happened to Quandre Diggs?
I don't remember if I saw it because we were looking at the All-22 feed, but he gets really low and his feet are really good. And he got down low and some guy just kind of, I don't know if it was a blocker, I can't remember, or maybe the guy he's tackling just kind of bent him back over. And so, yeah, his foot was pointing the wrong way. You know, he broke his fibula, dislocated his ankle. So just a horrible, the way somebody put it, he was 10 minutes away from free agency.
Right.
Guy's going to be a free agent. He's a fantastic player. I love that kid. He is just, I don't know, he's kind of like me. He says he's kind of grumpy and just has a bad disposition mostly.
Right.
And everybody on the team loves him. So you could see all of the emotion. Yeah, it was such a tragic thing, and it was a great day. And, for the Seahawks, it's kind of frustrating, kind of confusing that they played that well and beat a team that's that good at the end of the year. But that it was a good day other than that, and that just put a huge damper on it.
Well, and I thought of you right away because he was just minutes away from free agency where he was going to get a life-changing contract. And I remember you in the past talking about these contracts that I think the word you use is they're not just monster, they're generational. Right. They'll take care of your kids and your grandkids and maybe your great grandkids if you play it right.
Yeah, that was a category from when I was working my Merrill Lynch days, people with generational wealth and all the planning and things that have to go into that. And these guys are making that kind of money. And so, for Quandre, I don't know, it says it looks really bad. And I saw somebody who would know that sent me a text that said, best case scenario is 4 months. Worst case is 6, I think. So that could put him, out there for next year without much interruption or anything. It's just, it's going to be a tough it would be a lot better if he was healthy, going into the offseason as far as how much you're going to pay him because teams just don't know, if he's going to actually, get through this thing or.
Sure.
Thankfully, it's not going to be an Alex Smith type of thing because they said it was a closed fracture, so there was no compound, it didn't break through the skin or anything like that. But, it was ugly. And,
so the reason I thought of you is, you and I have talked about this on the air before. We've talked about it a lot off the air. When you were at Stanford, you had what a lot of people said was the worst injury they'd ever seen, where you were in danger of losing your lower leg, right?
Yes.
You're
30 minutes or so. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a knee dislocation. Did it go through your mind at the time? Because you were, not far away. You were projected to have, you were projected to be a first round pick, right?
Yeah.
To have a great, great NFL career. And you still had a really solid, long NFL career. But did it go through your mind at the moment of that injury? What was, because I was just wondering what was going through that kid's mind on Sunday when he had the injury. Does that go through your mind or are you just too, swallowed up in the moment and the pain and the shock and all of that?
Yeah, it was a shock, really, and I was out of it. Like, I was being hauled off, and my mom said that I screamed something up to her about my effing leg or something like that. I don't remember doing that, and I would never curse like that to my mom.
From your mom.
You know, so, yeah, that. And then, you know, just settled in. I was just scared. I didn't know, you know. What? But I'll tell you one thing. Another instance, before the 94 season, I worked as hard as I've ever worked. And I got, you know, like I was 245. I was as strong as ever. My body fat was down, you know, to like 8 or 9%. I just worked my tail off. I had a great preseason. We're 3-4 days away from the opener. And I'm really excited for the season. Like I said, I'm playing my best football as a pro. Because honestly, I think the best football player I ever was before that injury in college. Right. I mean, I just feared no evil. I mean, I was, you know, now all of a sudden you get an injury and you start to think about it a little bit. But in this case, you know, it was just the disappointment. I had put so much time in. There was like a 45-day period where I ran up Camelback Mountain 30 times because I turned 30 that year. And on my 30th birthday, I ran up the 30th time. You know, running a mile over, up Camelback, down. It's like an hour and a half workout. I was in great shape, and all of it just disappeared. So, I mean, I remember after that, I was in the shower, and I just started crying. And it was not the pain, of course. It was just the disappointment of knowing everything I just worked for just poof, went up in smoke, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure that that was, you know, exactly what he was reflecting on. You could see the heartbreaking scene with the tears and everything, and it's not because of the pain.
Oh, yeah. I understand. What do we got here?
The Eurythmics.
Jan Hammer.
Nope. Want another try?
Well, you have to admit, Jan Hammer was a good guess.
I don't even know who that is.
He was the guy. Didn't you watch Miami Vice?
Oh, he did the Miami Vice stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that was Jan Hammer. This sounds
Stop
like
saying Jan Hammer.
It sounds like.
This is a Yaz with Situation.
Yaz?
The name
That's
of the
what
band.
I said. I said Yaz. Yaz Hammer.
Yaz Hammer?
I said Yams.
I don't know what Yaz Hammer is. All I know is Yaz. I don't know what the last part you got there.
By the way, I've decided, Dave, I'm going to keep a track all year. And you won last week. But we're going to keep a one-year tally of who wins Name That Artist. I'm going to try to restore, as difficult as this has been for me, the last several years. I'm going to try to restore some competitive spirit in you.
Okay. That sounds good.
That's my goal here. Okay, we'll continue our conversation with Dave Wyman as the Dory Monson Show rolls on.
Rush.
That's to Dave.
Dave, nip me on that. I know that if it's a high-voiced rock singer, even though I've never listened to Rush, if it's a high-voiced rock singer, it's either AC/DC or Rush. So I should just go with Rush.
That's what you want. That's your thought process there.
Yeah, that's my default thought process. And again,
Geddy Lee,
Andrew. I don't know that it's fair to play Rush since that's Dave's all-time favorite band, unless you eventually work in equal amount of Billy Joel.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Barry
Manilow. I'm pretty new to this game. I'm still trying to figure out the rules. I remember the first time I ever did it, and I asked Ursula for help choosing between two artists, and I chose Blue Oyster Cult. And then I learned afterward that I couldn't play Blue Oyster Cult. So I'll figure it out. I'll figure out what your guys' favorite songs is.
I didn't know we had a Blue Oyster Cult band in Name That Artist.
Yeah, we did one time. Yeah.
Although,
and you claimed you called foul on that.
You're a big Billy Joel fan now, too, so I don't even know if I have an edge on that.
Yeah, maybe not. I started to come around to Billy Joel.
Yeah, you've started? Yeah, so it should be Rush for Dave and Barry Manilow for me.
Okay, and also I know Cars, too, for Dave, right?
I don't do Cars.
Okay.
I can compete with Dave on Cars. You know what we haven't talked about yet in this new year, Dave, was our favorite Christmas gift this year.
What was my favorite Christmas gift?
No, the mugs that we got. Have you already forgotten?
Yeah.
What Nicole gave you for Christmas?
Oh, it's not a mug, it's a glass.
Yeah, that's not a mug, Dave.
Well, isn't it kind of insulated?
No.
I thought it was kind of insulated. No.
No. Okay. It's a glass. Okay. Have you not seen a glass before?
It's a pint glass. Yeah, that's right.
It's insulated.
It's a beer glass.
So, and just to give some background, many, many years ago, when Dave and I were just in the embryonic stages of our friendship, I don't know if that's an appropriate word for
you. Yeah, that's weird.
But Dave was disgusted that I'd never seen a handful of movies. And do you remember what all those movies were?
Well, I think Bob and I have been talking about this on our show. One of my favorite all times is The Pope of Greenwich Village. It's from 1984, and it's got Mickey Rourke and Eric Roberts. And okay. I'm telling you, it's fantastic. But I think it was like Anchorman, Step Brothers.
Yes.
Slapshot is big with me. Like, you have to see Slapshot. When I first started working with Jessamyn McIntyre, she was our producer. She'd never seen Slapshot, so I immediately got on Amazon, sent her. I think it came over in a drone. No, I don't know. That was before those days. But
yeah, no, that's your thing. You sent me a bunch of DVDs of movies that you wanted me to watch, and one of them was Step Brothers, which I had never seen, and I ended up really enjoying it. But tell everybody what Nicole gave both you and me for Christmas. Yes.
Well, first of all, she gave me Step Brothers socks, and that are like, what do you call that? Argyle is the design. And then on the sleeve part that goes up your calf, it's a picture of Brennan and Dale, who are the two stepbrothers.
Right.
Well, the glass, she went above and beyond. She actually photoshopped yours and my faces on into, and they're perfectly done. I didn't realize I looked that much like Will Ferrell.
I did have some help with that from our Twitter buddy, Matt Gilbert.
Yeah,
he helped me with the photoshopping.
I'm looking at it right now. I put it on my desk. It was a very thoughtful, hilarious, great gift. I mean,
yeah,
that's.
I think you look like Bob Ross and Richard Simmons.
Yeah, you do look like Bob Ross with the Will Ferrell hair, Dave.
Yeah, a little bit.
You really do. Or no, he looks like Richard Simmons.
Allman Brothers.
Oh, dang it.
Allman Brothers.
I wasn't listening. I was talking to Dave.
What you're yapping.
It's so unfair. Crying out loud. You know, you're up 2-0 now in our 2022 standings.
If you want to keep score.
Oh, I do, mister. All right, you can hear Dave every afternoon on our sister station, 710 ESPN Seattle. Thanks for coming by, stepbrother.
Thanks, Dory. I'll see you.
All right, check the news. Then Big Lead at 2 is coming up next.